was driving toys, set the Corona's new. If you burned them all together, you'd get close to the truth still. They're pouring over Sanskrit from the Ivy League moons, while shadows lengthen in the sun. Cast on a school of meditation built to soften the times and hold us at the center of the spiraling lines. It's knocking over fences, crossing property lines for winds.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dr. Mohsen Sazegara. He is an Iranian journalist and pro-democracy political activist who was a founder of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards and held several high-ranking positions during the early years of the Iranian Revolution, serving as Deputy Prime Minister for Political Affairs, Deputy Minister for Heavy Industry, Deputy Chairman of the Budget and Planning Department, and before many other positions before becoming disillusioned in 1989. He applied to become a candidate for president of Iran in 2001 elections and was refused. His reformist policies clashed with the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, eventually resulting in his arrest. And after his release in August of 2003, he now resides in the United States. We're talking to you from Paris today, Dr. Sazegara, and in Washington today, of course, the Attorney General Eric Holder held a press conference where he announced the arrest of a Iranian-born U.S. naturalized citizen, and suggesting that he was a part of a $1.5 million plot to blow up the Saudi embassy, perhaps the Israeli embassy, and to kill the Saudi ambassador to the United States. And, of course, this will lead to further sanctions. Given that the Al-Quds force is implicated here, and specifically Gholam Shakuri, who is apparently based in Iran, he was the instigator of the plot. You, of course, being one of the founders of the IRGC, the Quds Force is a part of that. What's your understanding of the operational control here? Who would have been giving, who would have come up with this plot, and who would have sanctioned it?
First of all, I have to say that that Revolutionary Guard, that I was one of the founders of that organization, was not this Revolutionary Guard. We hoped in those days to create a people army to defend the country. But so naturally, we did not have any Quds force, any terror division or other things that on these days Revolutionary Guard is doing in Iran or outside Iran. Quds Force is one of the forces of Revolutionary Guard which is in charge of out-of-Iran operations. Most of them terroristic actions in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Somalia, in Argentina, everywhere in the world, all around the world. And this plot, which was announced by General Prosecutor of the United States, is something which shows that they have planned something against Saudi Arabia because of the several difficulties that they have on these days with Saudi Arabia in that region.
So would these orders have been sanctioned by the supreme leader? I don't think Ahmadinejad is in the loop, is he?
Definitely, because, you know, according to the constitution of Iran, the leader is the chief commander of all armed forces of Iran and police of Iran. And president is only head of the government and has no responsibility about what armed forces do, especially Revolutionary Guard. And inside Revolutionary Guard, Quds Force directly report to the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, and the commander of Revolutionary Guard, General Qasem Soleimani, is a person that every time that he wants, directly he goes to the house of the leader, meets him, and reports to him directly. So I believe that this operation, which have been designed inside Revolutionary Guard, Intelligence Division of Revolutionary Guard, under command of Hossein Taib, has been reported to the to Ayatollah Khamenei and has been under his command directly.
So, again, I'm speaking with Dr. Moshe Nsanzagara, who was one of the founders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and we're talking about the plot announced today by the U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder involving a transfer of $1.5 million, $100,000 of which was transferred to 56-year-old naturalized U.S. citizen Mansour Arabziar, who has dual Iranian and U.S. passports, along with Gholam Shakuri, who is a member of Iran's Quds Force. And the plot was, of course, aimed at the Saudi Arabian ambassador. And you were saying, Mohsen, that the Saudi, there is a, that the Iranian regime is having problems with the Saudis. Give us an understanding of why they would resort to such reckless measures. What is it that's really upsetting them?
They're upset, first of all, because of Bahrain. In Bahrain, Saudi Arabia has helped the regime of Bahrain to suppress Shia opposition over there, which Iran supports them. Although this support of Iran did not really help the Shias in Bahrain. Anyway, second, they have problem in Iraq. Saudi Arabia is not happy with whatever Iran is doing in Iraq, and you know, have more influence than before in Iraq. And third, which is the important part, is Syria. In Syria, you know, Iran supports the regime of Assad to suppress the people of Syria. And this is not what, on these days, all Arab states support that. They prefer to support people of Syria. But I believe that the main problem with Saudi Arabia goes to oil exportation of Iran. As you know, Iran is under sanctions of the United States, so Iran has serious difficulties in oil industries, in oil projects, and because of the U.S. sanctions on banking system against Iran, sometimes, like the case of India, Iran is not able to receive the money of the oil that exports. And Saudi Arabia is the only country which has the capability to export oil instead of Iran to other countries, cheaper and better oil. It happened with respect to India about 2 or 3 months ago. So oil exportation is the Achilles heel of the regime of Iran. So I guess that by this operation, they wanted to send a serious message to Saudi Arabia that they don't tolerate Saudi Arabia to substitute oil exportation of Iran.
So they've lost India as a customer. That was, I think, their biggest customer, wasn't it?
One of the biggest. India imports 450,000 barrels per day from Iran. I'm not sure, but I guess that on these days, China is the biggest customer.
I see. So, Dr. Moshe Nsanzagara, let's just look at the world from the point of view of the supreme leader of Iran, who clearly is, along with the Quds Force, are acting in a paranoid manner, given the kind of brazen nature of this plot to blow up the Saudi embassy, the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C., and to kill the Saudi ambassador to the United States. They're losing the Syria, And by extension, they will lose Hezbollah, right, because that's their link to Hezbollah. They're losing Hamas because of what's happening in Syria. And what about their efforts in to stir up trouble into Saudi Arabia? What does the Shia diaspora think of this regime? Because I can't imagine, since the Green Revolution was crushed, that too many people have any illusions about the nature of this regime in Tehran.
Yes, you're right. You know, the leader of Iran should be very disappointed on these days because he thought that he can be the leader of the world of Islam. And he can see on these days that Turkey is now the real leader of the world of Islam. Recep Tayyip Erdogan goes to every country, thousands of people in Tunisia, in Libya, they come to welcome him. And model of Turkey, I mean a kind of democracy, is now more favored amongst the Muslim nations than model of Iran, which is an Islamic revolution. But many investments, Iran, especially Quds Force, they have had amongst the Shia minorities in Islamic countries, including Saudi Arabia. But they lost Shia minorities, because of the Green Movement of Iran, and many of the Shia Arab people saw on TVs, Arab TVs, that this regime suppress the Iranian Shia people, and people of Iran, especially young generation, they don't like this regime, and they are beaten, they are imprisoned, they are killed by this regime. I remember that about 2 years ago, during the holiday of Shia people, Ashura, when they killed 38 persons in that day to suppress the demonstration on that day. I remember that I was informed that Qasem Soleimani, commander of Quds Force, he went to Ayatollah Khamenei and explained to the leader that by these scenes on the streets of Tehran, which have been broadcasted by all Arab TVs and all satellite TVs all around the world, we have lost even the Shia people. So you're right. The leader of Iran can be really, really disappointed on these days, because whatever he has invested in foreign policy of Islamic Republic in whole region is now bankrupted.
And does he know this? Is he getting information, or is he...
I've got information from my sources that privately he has said that, yes, it's a really, really disappointing situation and dangerous situation. He's afraid of, you know, changing, you know, because now there is a domino of democracy in Middle East. And as you know, Iranian people shouted on the streets that Mubarak Ben Ali, Nobatek said Ali, it means that Mubarak Ben Ali, and now it's your turn, Sayyid Ali, which is the first name of Ayatollah Khamenei. So he really hates to be mentioned as another dictator in region, to be in the queue, to be overthrown. But the truth is that the people of Iran and many other countries evaluate him as another dictator who is in the queue to be overthrown by the people.
The Russians and the Chinese vetoed sanctions against Syria, and that situation. It's very hard to understand why the United States has been sort of ambivalent about Syria, as has Israel, as a matter of fact. When it is so obvious that Iran is supporting the Assad regime. They've apparently pumped about, what, $8 to $10 billion in there to prop them up. That's real money. So what do you think's happening back home as Iran suffers these foreign policy defeats? Do the Iranian people know this? Are they embarrassed by their government? I remember some of on the day where they celebrate, I think it's called Palestinian Day. A lot of the people in the street were saying, you know, why are we supporting the Palestinians and not taking care of our own people? And now that they've lost Hamas and they are likely to lose Hezbollah and Syria, surely that's going to have domestic repercussions.
I'm pretty sure that the regime of Iran will claim that this is a fake story, it's a fabricated story, and the U.S. Wants to cover the domestic problems, because in Iran, if you live in Iran, every day you can see, you can watch in TV that Iran shows, that TV of Iran and radio and TV, state-run TV of Iran shows that, yes, U.S. has lots of troubles and everything is bankrupted. They are going to lose everything. And so in Iran, the regime's propaganda will claim that this story is a fake story, fabricated story. They will claim that U.S. has created that to cover their defeats in domestic policies, especially economy. And I'm pretty sure that they will claim that at most this is something to show to Iran that U.S. wants to revenge those two hikers in imprisonment for 2 years. So this is how they try to propagate in inside Iran. But what people will believe, it depends on that how they receive the information. As you know, we have only one state-run radio and television. Of course, it has six stations, TV stations, but they are all under one organization, under control of the leader of Iran. And they have tried, although we have 36.5 million internet users in Iran, but Revolutionary Guard control telecom of Iran, and they have filtered lots of the websites, and even they have closed VPNs, and they try to prevent to ban the information circulation for Iran. I can't say that how much they will succeed to ban the real information to go to Iran with respect to this plot, especially that during the last 2 or 3 months, they have started to attack to every house to collect the dishes for satellite TVs, because we have several Persian-language satellite TVs. I'm not sure that the regime succeeds to, you know, control the information circulation for people of Iran. What I can say is that it's more than 2 or 3 years or even more that people of Iran don't trust the official propaganda of the regime.
Just in closing then, the Saudis are going to be very upset about this. I'm not sure what they can do. But this is clearly going to lead to more tension in the region. Just in the last few seconds, do you think that this regime is going to last? Its days are numbered, the theocratic regime?
You know, Saudis, they have very, very conservative foreign policy. I heard from one of my friends a few minutes ago that they are really shocked right now.
The Saudis. The Saudis you're talking about.
Because they didn't think that Iran may go for such a plot against their ambassador or their embassy, especially this ambassador, Mr. Adel Al Jubeir, is very, very close to the king, and it's very favorite diplomat for the king himself. So I believe that it will help Saudis to get closer to the United States, because they were angry with the United States, especially with events in Egypt. And they may become more serious to follow the policy of oil exportation to substitute Iran markets, to cover Iran markets, to show to Iran that they are really serious about that. But we have to wait and see that what will be the real reaction of the Saudi officials.
Sure, but you said earlier that that oil is Iran's Achilles heel, and if their exports dry up, this government will have a hard time staying in power. I thank you for joining us, Dr. Mohsen Sazegara.
Well, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Dr. Mohsen Sazegara, an Iranian journalist and pro-democracy political activist. He is one of the founders of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, and we spoke to him from Paris. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back in a moment.